yesterday, I want to finish up the sugya of Baltashatzi today. So, what did you want to go over? Well, before we go over the Aruch Nehr, let me just make another point. I mentioned yesterday there is a tshuva in the Beis Yaakov, where the tshuva in the Beis Yaakov suggests that if a person eats pachus mikazayis of something disgusting, that it's chatzi shir. By the way, I think the other issue with chatzi shir was by chibuk v'nishuk of arayos. I think that's what Ramban. Remember, I was racking my brain yesterday. Where does Ramban use chatzi shir in a very mudna way, in a very unusual way that you would never expect to use chatzi shir? I think that's what he says by chibuk v'nishuk of arayos. He says it's like the chatzi shir of arayos. It's not a chatzi shir, you know, but that's what he means. Chatzi shir in the quality of the mitzvah, not necessarily in the obvious or whatever. Not necessarily chatzi shir in the. Okay, but anyway, so the Tshuva's Beis Yaakov says that when you eat pachus mikzayis of something that's disgusting, so you're definitely not chayv for that. And there's no isser even of bal tashak su pachus mikzayis because he says like this. Let's say you were to eat actual bugs, actual minim tamei, you know, actual shrutzen, right? That aren't a beria. That are pachas that are not a beria. So do you get malchus for that? So the halach is no. You're only chayiv for eating a bug if you eat either a beria or you eat a kazayis of bugs. You crush up bugs and eat a whole kazayis worth of bugs. But if you eat less than a kazayis and it's not a beria, you don't get malchus for it. So he says, not mistaver that you're going to be in violation of the isser of bal tashaktsu when you eat pachas mikazayis of... I don't know, urine or vomit or whatever, you know, all these are out of a toilet, but you're not going to be in violation of Baltashaktsu when you eat the actual bug in Pachas Mikzayis. It doesn't make sense that Pachas Mikzayis would be the Aver Daraisa when you do the secondary Baltashaktsus, but it wouldn't be the Aver Daraisa when you do the Iker Baltashaktsu. So that's the Chiddush of the Beis Yaakov. Now, truth is, though, it is somewhat of a Chiddush, because to say Pachas Mikzayis is a Chatzi Shir, that's when you're talking about a Shir Achila. I mean, when do we have a Shir Kazayis? Shir Kazayis is only when you have something where there's either a Mitzvah Achila or an Isser Achila. Like a Mitzvah to eat a Kazayis of Matzah, Mitzvah to eat a Kazayis of Marah. Isser Achila, Isser to eat Neveh, Isser to eat Trefa. What's the Shir of Achila on Yom HaKippurin? Less, it's not a Kazayis, it's Koseves. Why is that? Why is it not a Kazayis? Because it never says in the Torah not to eat in Yom Kippur. It says a mitzvah say to be ma'ane yourself. So if it's a key mitzvah of inu, it's not a mitzvah of achila, so then it's not going to, the gedder is not going to be a kazayis. Kazayis is only by things that are achila. So it could be that baltashaktsu is eating, is done by eating certain things, by eating, out of a toilet, or eating these disgusting things, drinking out of a bloodletting utensil, but it's not an isra achila. Now, on the Torah level, it is an Isra Achila, because you're not allowed to eat bugs. That's an Isra Achila. But in all these secondary forms of Baltashaktsu, it's not really an Isra Achila. It's an Isra not to be disgusted. So it is a very big Chiddush to say that there's such a thing as a Chatzi Shir being Aser when it comes to... Chatzi Shir not being the Isser when it comes to these secondary forms of Baltashaktsu. However... Remember we said that there's a chilik, the Ramah, the Rabbeinu Meir Alevi, quoted by the Ritva, says that it depends on what kind of secondary form of Baltashaktsu you're talking about. If you're talking about the secondary form of Baltashaktsu of holding yourself in from going to the bathroom, that's for sure only Drabana. When you're talking about the secondary form of Baltashaktsu of drinking from bloodletting utensils, that's Daraisa. So what's the svara to be mechalik? They're both secondary forms of Baltashaktsu. So the svara to be mechalik is that anything that's eating related would be Baltashaktsu Daraisa, and anything that's not eating related will only be Drabana. So then maybe you see that that there's actually a shir, right? That makes sense that it would be a shir achila. If you hold that anything that's eating related is going to be included in Lossashaktsu as Nafsho Seichem on a Torah level, so then you see it does relate to eating. However, there is a Bach in Siman Reish Dalit and Shari Tshuva in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Beis of Katan Aleph talks about the following. Let's say a person makes a bracha on a fruit, and after the bracha he looks at the fruit and it's gross. It's disgusting for some reason. So what should he do? So they say, let him eat a little bit so that it's not be a bracha levatala. Right? But he says, if nafsho katsabo, if it's not just nimas, but it's nafsho katsabo, it's like really gross, then don't eat it because you don't want to violate Bal Tashaktsu. And you shouldn't eat because it's going to be a violation of Bal Tashaktsu. Now, that's a very fascinating conflict that you have over there. Because you made a brach on the food. Now what's going to happen if you don't eat it? Brach al-Vatala. So you're going to violate brach al-Vatala if you don't eat it. If you do eat it, it'll be a violation of Bal Tashaktsu. So the Bach and the Shari Tshuva say, don't eat it. Why do you think they would say don't eat it? So if you say all these that Bal Tashaktsus other than eating bugs are all drabanans, right? So then, I'm sorry. If you say the Bal Tashaktsus are daraisas, then you understand the Bal Tashaktsus daraisa brach levatala, probably drabanan machlokes rishonim, but probably drabanan. Shem Hashem l'shav is daraisa. But you said a bracha. You said Hashem is shakol niyabid varo or is borei priya eitz. That's all true and wonderful, and it's a great statement of Shavach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Isser of saying it without actually eating a fruit may only be Drabanan. The other possibility is, even if they're both on the same level of Isser, if they're both Drabanan, both Araisa, what do you do when you have a conflict that's irreconcilable?
The lesser of the two.
Let's say it's irreconcilable. Let's say they're both even. Everything's even. So what's the proper way to behave? If I do eat it, I'm chayv mishum al tashaktsu. If I don't eat it, so what do we say? Shevi al tasa adik. So don't eat it. Just don't do something. Just sit still. But now, according to that bach, that if someone makes a bracha on a pri, and then it becomes disgusting that you shouldn't eat it because it's bal tashaktsu, even though the bracha is going to be levatala, but if you say that you only violate bal tashaktsu by yeshir kazayis, Then the Bach should never say don't eat it. What should the Bach say?
Eat
pachas mikazayis. For a brach levatala, to avoid brach levatala, you don't need to have that much. You could have pachas mikazayis and you won't have brach levatala. So if the Beis Yaakov were correct, the Chubas Beis Yaakov were correct, that the Yisra is only on a kazayis or more, well then it's against the Bach. It's against that Shari Tshuva. Because the Bach and the Shari Tshuva write that if it's disgusting, better not eat any of it. No, what do you mean better not eat any of it? You should eat pachas mikazayis. We had a similar Shaila Rabbi Kamenetsky had once. He was giving Parsha Shir to the Balabatim on Friday morning, and his mouth was dry. So one of the Balabatim quickly brought him a cup of water. And he picked up a cup of water, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaMashiach Kol Nei Dvaro. And he was about to drink it, and then he realized, oh my gosh, it's a Asara B'Teves. It happened to have been a Asara B'Teves. It's a fast day. So what do? So he did the right thing. The correct thing to do is, the poskim will talk about this, is you take a little bit. Folks, make sure you just say this because if you don't want to violate brach levatala, so you take a little bit. It's also a fascinating discussion. What if you ravadi as a tshuva, you fleishiks, and you see a delicious piece of chocolate. So you say milk chocolate. I said delicious, right? So you said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro. And there's nothing else around that you could put in your mouth. That's all you got. So do you eat it or not? This is a fascinating discussion over there. There, that might be different than a fast day, because that could be better, could be worse in certain ways. Davar sheyesh lamatirin, the both davar sheyesh lamatirin, basar b'chalav is ikaru min haTorah. It's not really basar b'chalav. It may depend if it's different in the first hour after you eat fleishiks or not in the first hour after you eat fleishiks. Fascinating discussion. Rav Avadia has a tshuva about this in Yechav Adas, and others talk about it as well. It's a very fascinating discussion. However, what I wanted to mention is, let's say you're doing something disgusting for some other reason. Meaning, there's a reason that, like in Poskim, Shulchan Aruch, I think even, talks about there used to be a thing, apparently this was a fairly common thing to do, was that there was some sort of illness or something that required drinking human urine, something like that. So is that a violation of Bal Tashaktsu? So this is a Radvaz. The Radvaz on the Rambam that we saw the Radvaz, says that if you have l'refua, a davar meshukatz, then it's mutter. And he says that's why they're knowing to drink meraglayim l'refua. Right? The Radvaz says that's why people are knowing that they have meraglayim for refua. So it's interesting, the Shach in Yordeh, Sim Pei Aleph, Sivkat and Gimel, writes, when the Mechaber says that you're allowed to drink Meir Aglayim, he's right, that you're allowed to drink urine. Now, why is the Mechaber saying you're allowed to drink urine? What's he talking about? He's not even talking in Hilchos Baal Shach. It's in Yordeh, Sim Pei Aleph. What's going on in Yordeh, Sim Pei Aleph? They talk about what's kosher, like whether, you know, whether human milk is kosher, whether you, right? That's what, so the Mechaber mentions that human urine is kosher. So says the Shach, on that halacha, miunira de l'chadchila yesh lahachmir b'meir aglayim mishum bal tashaktsu. But l'chadchila, you should try to avoid drinking urine, because that's bal tashaktsu. And he says, v'ulai gama mechaber lo ka'amar el shumut mitzad adin. And maybe the Mechaber meant that also. Maybe when the Mechaber said it's mutter, he means mutter midine kashrus. But midine gross, it's still gross. Right? But how does he say it? L'chadchila yesh lahachmir, mishum bal tashaktsu. So up until now, we've been discussing, is bal tashaktsu and other things that are not bugs, da'oraisa, or is it rabbanan? We had the possible split, depending on which kind of thing. We had the Rambam. According to the Shach, it sounds like it might be neither Daraisa nor Darabana. It might just be Amidas Chasidus. What's more gross, holding yourself in from going to the bathroom, or drinking, or going to the bathroom into your mouth, right? Or, you know, drinking urine. What's more gross? I would think the latter is a little more gross than the former, right? So it's the Shach only calls that Amidas Chasidus. So maybe it's only Midas Chasidus. Mitzad Adin, there's no Isra at all. However, the Shach says that for Chol Hashem Bal Sakan, it's for sure Mutter. Now, what's behind that? Let's assume, like those Rishonim, that it's Nisad Daraisa, Smak. Or even that it's Nisad Rabbanan. But let's even say, like, if you hold that it's Nisad Daraisa, for Chol Hashem Bal Sakan, all of a sudden it's going to become Mutter? You're allowed to violate Nisad Daraisa for Chol Hashem V'Sakana. So he says, maybe Kol Shos L'Refuah, it's not Shaykh Bal Tashaktsu. What does that mean? When you're Osa L'Refuah, it's not Shaykh Bal Tashaktsu. That's what the Prima Gadim writes on that Shach. If you're Osa L'Refuah, it's not Bal Tashaktsu. What does that mean?
Sometimes you have to take medicine and it's like tastes disgusting, but like, you realize like it's for your benefit.
And therefore you're allowed to violate Bal Tashaktsu, like, or it's not even a violation of Bal Tashaktsu? That's what I'm asking.
You might not consider it, you might not think of it as like disgusting.
So how are we magdir Bal Tashaktsu? What did the Rambam say? These things, what makes something disgusting? That people, that most people would say, ew, I can't believe you're doing that. But if you're doing it for refuah, most people will not say, ew, I can't believe you're doing that. People will say, of course you're doing that, it's for refuah. Memela, it's no longer Bal Tashaktsu. So it's not the vart that it's a violation of Bal Tashaktsu, but we allow you to violate the Isser for the concern of refuah. Nah, that's not the issue. The issue is that it's not called Bal Tashaktsu. The gedder of the definition of Bal Tashaktsu is only when most people recoil from the fact that you're behaving in such a way. Chadash writes that anytime you do any ma'aser mishum refuah, o le'eza siba kolduhu, says the Prichadash. Here's such a lesson. Le'eza siba kolduhu. Any sort of reason that you're doing it, it's not Bal Tashaktsu. What? Not only for refuah, but for any sort of reason? But again, what's the vart? It's that when you're doing it for any sort of reason, most people won't recoil anymore. They'll say, oh, I get it. I get why you're doing that. And mele, it's not Bal Tashaktsu. In our Chaim Simtsadi Beis, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, Mishabur Kod Sivkan Zayin, Shulchan Aruch talks about, what if you have to go to the bathroom and you're davening for the Amud? Or you're davening. Do you stop in the middle of Shemon Esrei to go to the bathroom? So the Mishabur over there, Sivkan Zayin, says you're still in the middle of Tefillah, or in your Rishus Rabbi, and you need to go to the bathroom. So you're walking down the street, you're walking down Central Avenue, you need to go to the bathroom. I learned this about the shocks, so just go right there on the spot, in the middle of Central Avenue. No, probably you should find a toilet first, with a door and a lock and everything, right? Aye, but how can I violate Bal Tashaktsu? It's a violation of Bal Tashaktsu as much as I hold myself in. So why am I allowed to go when they arrest you for, you know, indecency or whatever, and literally, you say, I'm sorry, it's the Torah, it's not me. So why are you allowed to violate over there? So Mishmur says, because Kavod Abrios is Docha Lo Sa Seisha B'Torah. So Kavod Abrios is Docha the Bal Tashaktsu. So the implication of that, though, is that it is Baal Teshachtu. It's just a covenant of Brius is Doch Baal Teshachtu. L'chora, according to what we're saying now, it shouldn't be Baal Teshachtu to begin with. Why shouldn't it be Baal Teshachtu to begin with? Because any time you're in a situation where someone will say, oh, I understand why you're doing that, it's not even Baal Teshachtu. It's not even a violation of the structure of the Seicha. So why does Mishra have to come on to cover the brios? Forget about cover the brios of the Seicha B'Torah. That allows you, if you're wearing Shatnes D'Rabbanan, and all your clothing is Shatnes D'Rabbanan in your middle of Central Avenue, that you don't have to get undressed in the middle of the street. Cover the brios of the Seicha B'Torah. But it still is Shatnes. There's no one that's going to deny that. It's just that cover the brios allows you to, you know, or to tell the Ezra, should you have to take medicine on Shabbos and you have horrible allergies. So you need to take allergy medicine. So are you allowed to take medicine on Shabbos? And this is Rabban, take medicine on Shabbos. This is Eliezer says, well, cover brios, you're going to be, if you have to talk to people and you're going to, your eyes are going to be puffy and your nose is going to be running and you're just going to be, you can be ice mensch. So he says, cover brios, you're allowed to violate the Yisid Rabbanon. But you are violating the Yisid Rabbanon. It's just that cover brios is a greater, is the dominant factor, right? So why didn't the Mishnah Berurah just say over here, same thing, that you're not violating Baal Teshachtu over here, instead of saying that the Kavod HaBrios is Docha? So that's a little bit difficult. And the truth is, the Bach, and the Shari Tshuva we mentioned before, where he made a bracha, and it's disgusting. So they better not eat from it because it's going to be Baal Teshachtu. Well, everyone understands if you made a bracha that the reason you're eating from it is not because you find it appetizing, but it's because you don't want it to be bracha latala. So shouldn't that already make it not Baal Teshachtu? Right? The fact that you made a bracha? Because everyone's going to understand. So the truth is that there could be a difference between what everyone understands because of your physical needs and that it's not considered disgusting. Like if you need for refuah or whatever, no one will call it disgusting when you drink a disgusting medicine, because that's part of your physical needs versus a halachic issue, like a halachic consideration, like I made a bracha or something like that. That maybe would be different. Say for example, for a medical exam, person needs to hold himself in, not go to the bathroom. So the chora, that would not be Baal Teshachtu, because I understand that that's basically necessary. For what he needs. Now, you wanted me to go over the Aruch Lener again? Is that the... any questions on that part? You good over there? So, yeah, so the Aruch Lener just pointed out the machlokes between the Ritva and the Ram HaLevi, whether it's an Issur Torah or not, meaning whether the other forms of Baal Teshachtu drinking from the blood of the utensils is an Issur Torah. And... The Rama held that it's d'oraisa, whereas the Ritva is only d'rabban. But he says, I don't get it. Why is it that drinking from bloodletting utensil is going to be an issur d'oraisa, but holding it yourself in front of the bathroom is only an issur d'rabban? How could you be mechalek between the two? Right, that was the kasha of the Aruch Lener. So he says that it could be based on what the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos of Tzad Yamin Beis understands that if you give a child a grasshopper and he eats a live grasshopper, he's in violation of Baal Teshachtu. And Rashi over there says, how do I know it's a violation of Baal Teshachtu? Makas Tezayinim Beis. What do you mean? Where do you see Makas Tezayinim Beis that it's a violation of Baal Teshachtu? Well, you see in Makas Tezayinim Beis, by Karnadumnesa, by the blood letting utensil, that eating and drinking disgusting things is Baal Teshachtu. So he says, maybe what you see from there is that what we derive from Makas Tezayinim Beis is that eating or drinking disgusting things is a violation of Baal Teshachtu. But the other example the Gemara gives, where it's not eating or drinking, is not a violation of Baal Teshachtu. You know, and the other part of the Aruch Lener was just a different issue about Sfiya B'Yadayim, about the Yisrael Los Achilim, about giving a child something non-kosher to eat. Because he points out the Mishnah Melech raises this machlokes rishonim, whether the isra sphia biyadayim of giving something non-kosher to a child to eat, and this is doraisa lo sachil, they're not allowed to give something non-kosher to a child to eat. Whenever you talk about kashrus for a child, you have to think about three issues. You have to think about the issue of chinuch, you have to think about the issue of timtum alev, that when somebody eats something not kosher, it has a negative effect on them. And you have to think about the issur d'orais of los achil. You're not allowed to do something not kosher to a child to eat. At a shaila, a woman said she was in the supermarket with her special needs child, and the special needs child started screaming that she wanted to eat a strawberry. 6-year-old girl wanted a strawberry. So she was going to obviously pay for whatever she'd give the kid, so it wasn't an issue of dinim amanus, but she didn't have, she couldn't check and wash the strawberry. So can she give it to the special needs child? Ask the child of Zilberstein to do that. Whatever. So, but part of what you have to, the cheshbon you got to go through in your mind is: am I feeding an issur d'oraisa to a child? That would be an issur d'oraisa. It's a machlokes rishonim whether you're allowed to feed an issur d'rabbanan to a child. So the Mishnah Melech asks from our sugya, according to those rishonim, that you're allowed to feed an issur d'rabbanan to a child directly. So what does the Gemara ask? Ihachi tor nami. The Gemara in Shabbos say that if it's, even if it's a kosher grasshopper, it's going to be, you shouldn't be allowed to give it to the child because it's going to be a violation of Baltashaksu. What do you mean? Baltashaksu is only d'rabbanan. If you hold Baltashaksu is only d'rabbanan, then you understand that it should be mutter. So how could the Gemara say even a tor nami, you're not allowed to give even a kosher grasshopper to the kid because it's Baltashaksu? You're allowed to give a d'rabbanan to a child. You're allowed to give an issur d'rabbanan to a child according to some rishonim. So you say that the Rama holds that in issur d'rabbanan is mutter to be sofa biadayim, but from afilu tor nami it's muchach. You see from that Gemara that it must be that it's an issur d'oraisa to give a live grasshopper to a child. Why is it an issur d'oraisa? So it must be because it's achila, not something, not just holding yourself in. But that Gemara in Shabbos is the raya that there's an issur d'oraisa to feed things other than bugs to a child. Because here you have a kosher bug, it's a grasshopper that's kosher. And still the Gemara assumes that you're not allowed to feed it to a kid, but if you're like those Rishonim, that you're allowed to give their abundance to a kid, what's the problem with feeding it to a kid? Elamai, must be that the Gemara is assuming that it's us, that it's a d'oraisa, that it's not us mitrabban, that the Baal Tashaktu is Baal Tashaktu d'oraisa, because if it were only Baal Tashaktu mitrabban, you'd be allowed to give it to a child. So it must be that it's Baal Tashaktu d'oraisa. So that's what Mahalevi says. I agree that Masha Nekavav is only d'rabbanan. I agree with you, Ritva, that it's only d'rabbanan. But you can't say that feeding a grasshopper, a live grasshopper, is d'rabbanan, because the Gemara is assuming it's d'oraisa by assuming that you're not allowed to give it to a kid. So then, Mistama, the Karin Adumnasa, the Korin Adumnasa, the blood letters utensils, also d'oraisa. Because why should those be any different from each other? Holding yourself in is a different story. That's only d'rabbanan. Because that's not even a maisa, that's not eating, that would be only d'rabbanan. But that would be the raya to the Rabbeinu Meir Alevi. Okay, that's all we have for Baal Tashaksu, I think. There's a lot of halacha in Baal Tashaksu. Look in the poskim. I put some of the poskim there. You can learn through the poskim, figure out what the halacha and the maisa, when you have to stop davening, when you don't have to say, that kind of thing. Tomorrow again, we're going to do some shiur from Rav Lichtenstein relating to Teretz Yisrael in honor of Yom HaTzmud, in honor of Rav Lichtenstein's Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. And then next week we'll be on to a new sugya to be determined. Don't know which one yet. Okay.